I've shared on here before that the big influence on my young life, and still today if I'm being honest, was my grandfather. I could do years and years of Field Notes episodes over the lessons he taught me, with a good many of them relating to the outdoors. Some of my earliest memories are tied to him, from learning to shoot pistols, rifles, and shotguns, how to trap, fishing every possible moment we had, and just spending time hiking around the countryside and exploring. Having a patient and loving retired grandpa, who likes to be outside, is a magnificent situation to find yourself in. Not all of it was outdoors. He was a huge Royals and Chiefs fan, and I grew up rooting for both, and some of my fondest memories are of listening to games for both on the radio with him. It would have been really neat for him to see the Royals championship in 2015 and the Chiefs this year. He also had a love of small woodworking projects, such as building bird houses and yard art of various sorts. He'd order patterns and plans from the back of woodworking magazines, and he had tools to help him build. Far and away, my favorite was the scroll saw for cutting fine details from wood. I spent many hours at that saw myself, fascinated with being able to create things from wood. Saws are pretty cool that way, aren't they? Allowing us to manipulate wood to our own designs? In the outdoor world, saws can make life a lot simpler, from both a utilitarian and recreational standpoint. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Imagine life without saws. Yeah, that's a pretty silly thought, but yes, we have axes and they are valued and have their place, but a life without saws would be a much different and more difficult place. And there are so many types for so many different functions. How many do you own? How often have you used them today, this week, this month? How much do they factor into your plans for spring and early summer? Yeah, me too. Cutting firewood, clearing brush around the yard, building a new smokehouse before the fish get here. In my case, working at finishing a cabin in the next few months. In the past couple of weeks, while working on fish taxidermy projects, I've used a circular saw, a jigsaw, a reciprocating saw, and a miter saw. And that's just to work on fish and bases. Today, let's talk about saws and try to connect them to the outdoors where possible. Again, saws can take many forms in shape, material, force used, and function. Most of us will think of a metal blade and cutting through wood, whether through the use of hand power or electricity. Serrated items date back to the days when materials like obsidian and flint were cutting edge, pun intended. There have even been saws found made of seashell and shark tooth. I have to believe a shark tooth saw was an 11 on a scale of 1 to 10 when it came to looking cool, but probably a lot less than that in terms of actual functionality. Ancient Egyptians used copper-bladed saws, and we know they used a variety of types from tomb wall illustrations. Later, bronze and iron were used. Once iron came on the scene, it quickly became the preferred material for saw blades of all kinds, particularly after some cultures learned how to harden the surface. Steel was used as early as 1200 BC. Through the years, advancements to how steel was produced led to advancements in things made from steel, saws included. Around here, maybe the most useful outdoor saw is a chainsaw. A whole lot of people own and use them, and they are without a doubt invaluable. Some folks are absolute aficionados when it comes to chainsaws and the cutting of trees. My father-in-law, who lives in Kansas, is one such person. Chainsaws and tree cutting are an art form, a dedicated hobby, and a means to an end, all rolled up into one, and he's been at it for decades. Some talented people even use chainsaws as their medium to express their artistic sides with both wood and ice. For probably 99% of us, though, the chainsaw is just simply an indispensable tool that serves us in ways such as clearing land and providing heat for our homes, steams, and campfires. I'd describe myself as a very casual chainsaw user, compared to many of you. I own one and know how to use it. We don't have a wood stove at home, so any time it's used around the house, it's because of downed trees. I did start clearing trees from the back of our property, so that maybe we could put that area to use. Also, I've used it to clear brush and trees in building our cabin, and I'm hoping to put in a wood stove up there, so it'll get a small amount of use in cutting firewood in its future. In terms of building my cabin, the saw that has been most valuable to me has been my miter saw, which does necessitate having a generator on hand. For cutting up 2x lumber of various sizes, that's just about as good as it gets. But other powered saws certainly help out. The cordless circular saw gets used a lot, as does the reciprocating saw, the Sawzall. And on the topic of Sawzalls, I have friends who use cordless versions for cutting up the rib cage on a moose out in the field. They sure work slick for that. I've toyed with buying one myself, but depending on where you hunt, they're not always practical to pack along. One saw that's really nice to have along when hunting is the Stanley Fat Max handsaw, in my humble opinion. I'm sure there are other saws that work for the same purposes as well. I read about the Fat Max on a hunting forum a number of years ago and bought one. It's a wood saw, but they are totally excellent for cutting through bone. I've used mine on leg bones, neck bones, ribs, and for removing antlers, and this saw does all of those pretty darned well. I got mine on Amazon several years back for $11, and it's still going strong, even after several moose and caribou. My first designated outdoor saw was given to me as a gift by my grandpa nearly 30 years ago. It's called a Wyoming saw, and I feel pretty confident a fair number of people listening probably have their own. The company has two models. The larger one uses an 18-inch blade, and the smaller one, which is the one I have, uses an 11-inch blade. The really cool thing about these saws is they pack down really small. The saw body comes apart and fits into a leather case. They weigh very little, but they're built like a tank. Also, you have the option of blades for cutting wood and blades for cutting bone. Mine has seen a lot of use through the years, though for cutting bone I've come to like that Fat Max saw that I mentioned. Still, a saw like a Wyoming saw that packs small and light is a terrific thing to have along, as it can hit on a number of outdoor chores and not slow you down. The saw itself is about a $50 item today, but blades are inexpensive if replacements are needed. Really, the Wyoming saw is a modified type of bow saw, and bow saws of all sorts of sizes for cutting timber have been around for hundreds of years. I remember Grandpa using the term Swede saw for these types of saws. They got that moniker due to the development of the tubular frame that was invented in the 1920s by Swedish company Sandvikens Jernverk. These are still terrific, lightweight, efficient designs for cutting up small timber for firewood and branches. It somewhat feels like the saws that are getting described are getting smaller, doesn't it? Well, let's keep it going in that direction. One of my favorite saws is a pocket chainsaw, or at least that's how the company markets it. It's a section of chainsaw blade, mine is 24 inches, with strong, webbing-type handles on the end. You put the teeth against what you want to cut and pull the chain back and forth by the handles. It folds up small enough to fit in the palm of my hand, fits into a black Cordura pouch with the belt loop, and weighs something like 5 or 6 ounces. It can be carried in a pocket or on a belt, and you'll never even know it's there until you need it. It's one of my favorite survival items. I have several, and they work really well for limbs or trees up to the size of my forearm or perhaps a bit larger. If palm-sized and a few ounces still seem cumbersome as a saw to include as a part of your survival gear, they also make something called a survival wire saw. This saw doesn't have teeth per se. It has strands of stainless steel wire woven together in such a way as to allow them to cut through branches. They typically have steel rings on the end to put your fingers through to pull them back and forth. I have a few. They're inexpensive and very small. Perhaps the best survival saw, something small that can be used in a pinch, is the saw blade on my Leatherman Super Tool. In fact, while a good many multi-tools have saw blades on them, the reason I favor the Super Tool is it has, hands down in my experience, the very best saw blade for a multi-tool. I've used the saw blade on mine more times than I can count. It functions well and easily for small stuff and is still as sharp as the day I bought it. I'd add that the blades I've seen on the Victorinox Swiss Army knives are just about as good. There's always going to be something we need to cut. Firewood is a constant for those who have wood stoves. Campfires will become pretty commonplace soon enough as we move through the months that most find conducive to camping. Other projects will come up as well, such as me eventually heading up to my property to likely clear brush and work on my cabin. It's a darn good thing we have saws to get those jobs done. One tool we probably take for granted, even as it's getting that job done. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.